Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years. Spirituality. But first of all, there's atheism, people denying or disbelieving in the existence of a higher power of God. Then there's theism, a belief in one God, and usually the belief that it is separate and distinct from us, that we pray to it, we look up to it. Then there's pantheism. That's the belief that God and the universe are identical. But it is the denial of a personality of God. In pantheism, they believe that God resides within us and within everything. New thought is really panentheism. Panentheism. I know that's a long marmalade word. And that means that we affirm that we live in it rather than it living in us. When we live in it, of course it lives in us, but that's not the only place it lives. If we're really coming from omnipresence. Omnipresence meaning everywhere, all right? So my purpose this morning for our final judgment case dismissed is threefold. Number one, for us just to think just for a moment about our judgments. Our judgments of ourselves and our judgments of others. I was reading the other day that it's been said that we live in such a reactionary society that we think we have to judge, disagree, and sometimes fight to feel powerful. And you can certainly see that in the world right now with all the challenges and problems that there are. So first of all, looking at our judgments of ourselves and others. And secondly, final judgment. How do you hold that? Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever heard about it? Do you think that the final judgment is God's judgment? I'll return to that because that's a good one. And number three, case dismissed. What do you think I mean by case dismissed? And I'll get back to that too. So think with me for a moment. What or who have you judged? Have you ever been judged by other people? Have you been judged for things you've said or done? I was thinking way back when the center was really, really new at the university, and somebody asked me, so is there a distinction between Edmonton and Victoria's audience? Because I started a center, a new thought center, Center for Self-Awareness in Edmonton, and it's changed its name since. And I just thought just for a moment, and I said, well, one of the things is that I spoke there for 2 years before we left, and there was only two people who came late, and they apologized. Two people in 2 years. And I says, in Victoria, people kind of come and go, and you know, and we're glad that they're here. But I didn't say that. I didn't say, and we're glad that we're here. I just kind of left it like that. And then during social time, somebody overheard somebody else saying, boy, did Gail ever tell us off today. And the person went, what did she say? Well, did you hear what she said about being late? And I thought, you know, when they told me this story, I thought, isn't that interesting? It's a projection about something that's going on with them. And I mean, I could have given you many other examples because I have been judged like you wouldn't believe. Ministers are loved. They're also judged. They're judged a lot. I'll leave it at that. So, the quality of the human mind, which we have, is to judge. That's a quality of the human mind. It's what do we do after we judge? Like, what do we do after we judge? Well, that's only for you to look at. But usually when you look at, when we're judging, it's usually because the person isn't like us or has a difference of opinion. Or we have already somewhere in our consciousness judged that's right or that's wrong or that's good or that's bad. And then, you know, the judgment is there. We've already decided that. Our little mind goes there. We as a society and as the family of humanity have been programmed by input. We've been programmed by society. We've been programmed by history. We've been programmed by our culture, by our peers, by our religions, by the church, by the education system, whether it's high or low, by our parents and our families, and certainly by the media. And it's been said that we've become prisoners of our concepts, that there's little grooves that we have in our consciousness, that something happens, something said, we see something, and all of a sudden, and it's in that little groove. I want to tell you a little story about a doctor way back when he used to make house calls. Yeah, they actually made house calls when I was young because I remember Dr. McTavish coming. But this doctor made a house call, and the wife was very, very sick. And he arrived, of course, with his little black bag and told the husband to stay outside of the room that he was going to see the wife in. And the doctor was in there for a few moments, came back perplexed, and asked the man, the husband, do you have a corkscrew? So the fellow gave him a corkscrew. He went back in. Came back out a couple more minutes, and he looked very, very frustrated. And he says, do you have a screwdriver and a hammer? The husband went and got a screwdriver and a hammer. And then the doctor came out after another few minutes, and he came out all sweaty and disheveled. And he said, do you have a hacksaw and a chisel? And the man nearly fainted. He couldn't stand it any longer. He said, my God, doctor, what's the matter with my wife? And the doctor said, I don't know. I'm trying to get my little black bag opened. See, but like, where would we have gone with that, you know? And, you know, I know it's kind of a little silly thing. But what that is that's the power of conditioned concepts. And that's just a very, very little example about that. So, you've heard the saying, what we resist persists, right? Now, we know that what we focus on expands. When we're resisting something, we are focusing on it. Even though we say it's resisting, there's still a focusing that's going on. So what we focus on expands. That's true. What we resist persists. So instead of resisting, we can acknowledge what was said or done or what's going on or the circumstances and replace it with a new thought. Know that we project things on other people and other people project their stuff on us. Someone once said, I know I press your buttons, but I didn't put the button there. You know? And we do. We press people's buttons, and people press our buttons. We project what isn't healed within our life or within our consciousness. Our harshest judgments are the very ones that we must accept about ourselves. So really look, you know, as I was preparing for this, and I chose this topic a long time ago, I've really been looking at whenever I slipped into judgment. You know, I looked and I thought, okay, so what's under that? What's that really about? Have I, you know, am I into the right, wrong, good, bad? Am I, you know, like a hook in the wall, something from the past that's incomplete, that's not healed, and I'm superimposing it on here because I'm judging it? All you have to do is read the newspaper these days and start looking at some of the things. And I go, ah. And John says, what? And I realize that, you know, I'm going, ah. I've judged. We all do it. But it's then, what do we do with it? No? If anyone has said something about you, has judged you, it's really that they have said something about themselves. Right, wrong, good, or bad. It's like, you know, we're not saying that. It's that they're, it's through their own eyes. It's through their own perception. Like that. Now, we know that once our mind is made up, sometimes it's pretty hard to change. And a closed mind is not open to learning. It's not open to new ideas, new concepts, new thought. It's not open to replacing that thought with a new one. Katie Byron talks about, in her work called The Work, she just says, turn it around. Turn it around. And how would you be? And how would you react? How would you respond? Would you be in judgment if you didn't have that thought? Good question. I think I've shared with you before, and those of you who have had Love at the Core know that there's a little exercise in Love at the Core that has people standing in front of other people, that it's very obvious due to the introduction of the exercise that they've taken positions about where they are about something that I just said. I've asked them to take their own position about it, what they think about it. And they're standing there facing each other. I'll just let them be with that for a few moments. And I say, how many of you wish you weren't doing this exercise right now? And then the question is, how are you feeling? What are the feelings? What are the thoughts that are running through your mind? And then what are your feelings? Then I do an interesting thing. I ask them to change positions. If they were facing this way, then they're facing this one. And to change their point of view and to argue that point of view. Interesting exercise. Now, here's the thing. I'm not really asking them to change their point of view, like per se. The point of the exercise is, how comfortable are you in getting into the mindset of someone else who thinks differently from you? And how are you with that? When I was remembering this to share with you again, that little exercise, I was thinking of one person in particular. This person got so upset during that exercise, I thought, well, she freaked out. She literally freaked out. And unfortunately, years later, I think just only one or two of you in the audience would know who I'm speaking about, she committed suicide. And I thought, boy, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of variables. But, you know, when you're into that stage of hopelessness, helplessness, to the point where you don't want to live anymore, I would venture to say that her, I won't say inability. It's not that she was unable. It's that she chose not to see someone else's point of view or entertain a new thought. It can have huge ramifications. This is what we speak about all the time at the center. Again, this is the time for me to remind you about the apple. Now, I know many of you have heard this story 15, 20 times if you've been coming to the center 20 years. But you know what? It's key. It's absolutely key with our judgments. Absolutely key to living a transformed life. If I asked if God made sweet apples or sour apples, you know, people would say, probably both. And if I gave Alice an apple to taste, first of all, gave her a little sip of lemon juice, she'd say, that apple is, what do you think she'd say? She'd say it's sweet. And if I gave Angela the same apple the other side, but first gave her a little tablespoon of honey, and she took the same apple bite, what would she say? This apple sour, Gail. Now the truth is, what the apple is, could be either, depending on what? Your point of reference, where you're coming from, what you're comparing it to. Or it's both, or it's neither. But did God make sweet apples or sour apples? Yeah. God just made apples, period. Now here's the thing. The sweetness and the sourness comes from us. Not the taste of it. This, the languaging of the judgment of whether it's sweet or sour comes from our perception. Now, apples, that's pretty easy. But what about when things are happening in our life? What about when there's something that we're just so ticked about, so upset about? We've polarized ourselves against on one of those, on the triangle on one side. And we're saying, that's bad because, da-da-da-da-da-da. They're wrong because, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Possibly, and you know, we could go into example after example after example. When I first heard this, we were in a energy and man concept therapy class, and I think we drummed through this all afternoon, looking at different things on the triangle. But somebody could say, yes, but, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you could see the polarity of that, and that it is that in some cases it's right, and some cases it's good. So which is it? It just is. It is just is whatever happened. They just said what they said with nothing else added. They just did what they did with nothing else added. But the we add it. And when we add it, then we say, oh, that was great. Or, oh, that was awful. And then it's very easy to make them great or awful. Got it? I'll tell you, if you take nothing else home from this, is that apple story. And some of you have heard it many times. Have you ever used it in your own life? Again and again and again when you're up against it. If this is new to you, this can transform your life. Believe me, it can. I want to read to you something from Joel Goldsmith, wonderful author of The Infinite Way. When I had my near-death experience, that's all I could read, and that's all I read. I think I read over 20 of his books when I was recovering from the automobile collision. There, this is right at page 1 and 3. I'm just pulling out one or two little paragraphs. It's called Spiritual Power of Truth. Therefore, to come into the completeness, into the fulfillment of the Christ experience, is to know the nature of God all right. To know that you are not dealing with a figure that you have to beg from, plead with, worship, and fear, not one that you have to be afraid of, that you have to sacrifice to or for. Know this truth, that you are dealing with life itself, always in expression. You are dealing with pure life, a life being that is so that is too pure to hold you responsible for even the sins of omission and commission. Resolve within yourself that if you are ever tempted to believe that God is responsible in any way for any discord, you will reject it. If you are ever tempted to believe that God has visited or is visiting upon you any form of punishment, any form of sin, any form of disease, any form of discord, you will now absolve God from any responsibility. Hello? That's pretty exciting, isn't it? That leads into final judgment, case dismissed. Now, I want to get back to this business of right, wrong, good, or bad, and the triangle. And this is from David Hawkins' work on his in his book called I believe it is, or maybe it's The Eye of the Eye. But he was giving several different examples, and he was talking about degrees of Fahrenheit. And then he had on one page from 3,000 to 2,000 to 1,000 all the way down to zero, and then minus 50, minus 100, minus 20, etc. Those are all degrees of heat or non-heat. Then the other example was values: precious, valuable, worthwhile, an asset, an A+, neutral, unattractive, hindrance, awful, ugly, repulsive. That's all on the scale of desirability. Then he gave another example of goodness. heavenly, very good, good, pleasant, okay, sort of okay, fair to middling, not too good, unsatisfactory, bad, wicked, horrible, ghastly, horrific. Again, this is the absence of the awareness of love. Notice I didn't say the absence of love. So that's different degrees of it. Different degrees. And then with light, there's blinding light, very bright light, bright, very strong light, subdued light, dim, dusk, dark, pitch black. Again, that's different degrees of light. Not its opposite, which most people think is darkness. There's different degrees of light. So just, you know when you're on that triangle, you know, watch when you're polarized and realize that maybe you're just looking at a different degree of something. But then where are you on that scale? And could you have a new thought about it? Could you replace your thought about it? All right. We'll leave that for a moment. Final judgment. Is it God's? Is the final judgment God's? Now, I want to say to you, it could be yes or no. Could be yes or no. It depends on the context that you're holding about God. If you hold the context that there's an angry God, a vengeful God, a judging God, and a punishing God, well, you're going to believe that, yes, there's a final judgment. I remember somebody saying to me that their relative comes from time to time to our center, and this person usually comes up to me afterwards and says, Oh, that was so deep, and that was so meaningful. And this person even wanted some of the script from some of my topics and certainly wanted what I had to say about every quality and every attribute during the candle lighting service. And I did give it to this person. But the person that comes very often said to me that this relative said, and this relative goes to a fundamental church most of the time. He said, but what if Gail's wrong? This person is afraid that I might go to hell. Why? Because of programming from the religion that he's been raised in since he was a baby. Isn't that interesting? So, you know, you just have to let that go if you're ever judged for that you come to a New Thought Center or whatever, whatever. Where the person is coming from is their own programming, their own groove, their own patterning, and possibly underneath that is a fear. And the fear, you know, you can actually acknowledge that they care a lot for you because they're afraid for you. But underneath that, there's something else. They're afraid for themselves, too. That if they deviate from what they've been taught, that they may go plumb straight. You know the saying. All right. So, God, infinite presence and power, is not anthropomorphic, doesn't have a human mind, it doesn't judge. In my forgiveness workshop, I make a bold statement, and sometimes people go, I say, God doesn't forgive us. Why? Because God doesn't judge us. You only need to forgive if you've judged. You only need to forgive if you have judged. And if the infinite presence and power is everywhere present and does not have an ego, it doesn't judge. So therefore, it's, you know, doesn't have to forgive you. So, doesn't judge, so no, there's no final judgment. But you know what? Yes, there is a final judgment. You know what the final judgment is? There are consequences. There are consequences to what we do. So final judgment happens all the time continuously throughout our lives. There's consequences to everything we say, everything we do, every thought we have about other people. give you an example here. If a match is struck in a hay barn and the barn burns down, it's not a punishment for the careless dropping of a match. It's merely the match put into motion a condition that set off a chain of events. If we had wanted the barn to burn down, we could say, yeah, this worked. Yay, this worked. But if we didn't want the barn to burn down, we'd say it's a loss. Again, it's where we're coming from with it, what we're comparing it to. So really watch ourselves with that. All right. There are circumstances in our life that are ripples of water merely returning as the waves in this lifetime. And the ripples are what one has perpetrated on another. So especially if you believe in reincarnation, which is a theory, and I would say if everything is energy, energy cannot be created or destroyed. All it does is change form. I am in alignment with believing in reincarnation. So, if there's ripples in our life, perhaps it is the, we won't use the term judgment, we'll use the term consequence of something that we have put into motion. Either a little while ago, or a long time ago, or perhaps in another lifetime. Perhaps. I didn't say for sure, I said perhaps. Just something for us to think about. We extrapolate ego's qualities and then superimpose it on God. Therefore, it's easy to fear God. So always remember, it's not about judgment, it's about consequences. Someone once said, the fear of God is ignorance, and depicting God as judgmental is a delusion of the ego. I think David Hawkins said that. Depicting God as judgmental is the delusion of the ego. Another thing that we could go off on for a long time, and I won't, but I'll just make this statement. God is not our parent. A lot of times we say, we're children of God. Grow up, be adults, living in God. You know, I mean, if we're children of God, then we're going to look at God as our parent. I hope you had good parents. If you didn't, boy, you're walking around with not a great concept of God. And John Bradshaw said 90% of us are raised in dysfunctional families with dysfunctional parents. So possibly if you think you're a child of God, you've got a dysfunctional God. It's a concept, just a concept. Just dwell on these things a little bit, if you will. I said earlier that, you know, we're programmed by many different things and there's different grooves. So look to see what groove, it's kind of like a channel. What if we were to depict our lives as a channel on TV, what would you call your channel? A movie channel, a drama channel, a comedy, Disneyland, Fantasyland, a thrill-seeking one, a horror story, crisis, suffering, crying at the end, not a good ending, a discovery channel, discovery of unfolding, like that. Okay. What I meant by case dismissed is, you know, just stamp yourself innocent in anything and everything. Things of commission and omission. And live your life without regret. Live your life without regret. So that, you know, you don't have to come at the end of your life and think, oh, I wish I had done this, I wish I had done this, I wish I had said this, I wish I hadn't said this. You know, and only you can choose that. Most valuable qualities of a spiritual seeker, and I really don't even like that word seeker, because who we are spiritual beings, but I guess seeker of deeper knowledge, seeker of more peak experiences within our spirituality, is to accept without reservation that we are worthy, that we're deserving of the best in life, and that we are innocent. It's not about self-doubt, and it's not about timidity, and it's not about guilt, blame, or shame. Guilt, blame, or shame. All right. I said a little earlier that it was either in the meditation or in one of the readings. I think it was Roy Eugene Davis's. But it's I'm re-languaging it this way. Look at the world as our spiritual workshop, wherein consequences of past mistakes can be reworked. We can choose, I won't say again, we can choose anew, that this isn't a punishment, that this is a consequence that we're going through. I like the term, and I've used it before in other topics, this is a divine refinement of for me. A divine refinement. It's refining me to my next level of unfoldment of consciousness. So we can choose anew. And that everything works out for divine order. Some people could say everything works out for good. Now there again, there's like a judgment about it. But everything works out for the divine orchestration for our own personal lives to take us to the next level of consciousness. To the next level of consciousness. So live without regret. I'm looking for my little, what I quoted you earlier, and I put it, tucked it away so much. But it was the new definition of humankind. Humankind can manipulate energy. How are you, how am I, how are we manipulating the energy that is our very life? That's a good question for us. So I hope when you leave here today, you come away with having a different context about final judgment, and that you can come away saying case dismissed against you. Also say case dismissed against other people that you may have judged. Hold them as innocent. Hold them as, I've used this phrase so many times in different workshops, they are doing the best that they can given their level of consciousness. You could say it another way. That's kind of a new thought way of saying it. They're doing the best that they can given how they were brought up, what they've been exposed to, and the thoughts that they think. They're doing the best that they can. And, you know, it's up to us to, you know, look at them and bless them and see them as someone that is unfolding in their consciousness, not like a superior attitude. Be very careful of that. I've seen people that dabble, they stick their toe in a little bit in new thought. They take a few workshops, and then they come about like, I know something you don't know. You know, they don't say it that way, but it's spiritual superiority. I hope you're not up against it with anybody like that. Call them on it if you have the nerve, the guts, and the daring to. So I'm glad that you presenced yourself here today. I think that this is a good offshoot from Easter from last week. This is also leading into next week's topic. My next week's topic is born anew in new thought. Born anew in new thought. Especially if you have anybody that you'd like to introduce to new thought, or if they may have been wondering what you're up to when you come to the center. They may even have judged you. Ask them if they're willing to lay their judgments aside and come and just experience one session. You know, sometimes people are so programmed that they think they'll go to hell if they even grace the doorway of our building. I'm not kidding. There are some religions that say things like that. It's unfortunate, but... So I'm glad that you've been here today. You've been a blessing to me and to us all. God's presence and power within me acknowledges and salutes God's presence and power in each and every one of you. Namaste. Namaste, namaste to you too. Thank you.